FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Carrie Lutz. The date is January 12th, 2016, and markets, maybe they're settling down a bit. Maybe they're just taking a breather. We don't know yet. But Danielle Park, who has been on top of this trend going back since well before I know her, back to 2007. Danielle, you've really been ahead of this. So anyway, Happy New Year. Good to have you back.
Hey, Happy New Year, Carrie. Thank you.
So China, that paragon of economic virtue that can't do anything wrong, that was the model for growth for the whole world, not doing too good. And there's a great article today that I thought just symbolized the whole thing. They're blowing up new buildings. 15 to 20% of their buildings, I think, are 24%, $70 billion a year. Gets blown up because either, I don't know why exactly, other than there's stuff wrong with them. They aren't built to code. They're built too close together. In one building, they just imploded. They finished it in 2015, but to get more condos out of the place, the developer decided that we don't really need emergency exits. We don't need emergency stairways. I mean, that's valuable real estate here. So they made them implode them, and it's happening all over the place, and that kind of symbolizes the new Chinese economy.
It does. Well, actually, Carrie, it symbolizes the wasteful, levered outcomes that came from the world's credit bubble in the past 15 years. It reminds me, quite frankly, of what was going on in the American housing market and real estate market in 2008-09. I remember speaking in Vegas. We were just talking about The Big Short and how they went to Vegas to meet the credit derivatives and the that financial conference that was going on. I was actually there at the same time in 2008. I remember seeing a lot of those, the signs for all the S&P and the rating agencies and all that stuff that were having conferences there at that time. But anyway, the point is,
I mean, the rating horse.
They were bulldozing sections of Vegas and the perimeter because they'd overbuilt, and there was so many, just exactly like that movie shows, empty properties with crocodiles and snakes and pools, and just they become like totally, dangerous and derelict and totally wrecking the value of anyone who's bought in the area already. And so, so it just reminds me of the mass psychology, how wasteful it is when it starts adding massive leverage, because the saying my grandfather used to have, which was always more money than brains. Well, that comes from easy money policies. That comes from tossing zeros on things, and all of a sudden the weakest players have access to capital and act like they're, knowing what they're doing kind of thing. And what you end up seeing is great waste, right? It pools into malinvestment and poor construction. I mean, poor construction, you see that in a construction boom all over the place, where, people that aren't really builders are in on the game because they can get contracts, and everybody's in a panic to get into the realty markets or get things built. And you end up with a bunch of subpar stuff that no one can actually use or no one can buy because the credit bubble's burst. And this is just all classic.
Well, that's a great point you raise, your grandfather. My grandfather was pretty smart, too. He only finished eighth grade, but he used to say, when you're paying interest on interest, you really have a problem. And he never owed anybody any money. He made it through the Depression, a wealthy man. And really, we just forget those lessons of the past. One thing in the U.S., as bad as substandard as sometimes the new construction could be, you would never see them omitting emergency stairways to get more to get more square footage to sell. There's certain things you just can't get away with in the U.S., but it's the Wild West in China, and it's like you do it till you get caught, and then if you're a billionaire, I guess you disappear, right? Read about 34 billionaires or MIA in the People's Republic of China.
Yeah. And if you are anyone vocal about the downturn and how dramatic the slowing growth is, you're arrested. Something like 300 people have been arrested in the last few months for making comments about how, you know, crazy the financial markets are, how slow the economy is, you know, how much waste and over indebtedness there is in the banking system. There, they just won't tolerate it even being said. So, you know, here's a connection, though, that I think people are missing. I always go back to this because I'm a simple kind of sort of simple sort of realism person. And as extravagant and complex as the global derivatives market became, and that's very well demonstrated in The Big Short, the movie, but in the book, but as complex as that all became, the nub of it was this. The credit bubble provided a demand that would not otherwise have been possible. That demand flowed from west to east. That drove a boom of commodities and consumption in Asia and China to create these products that were being demanded from the West on credit. And you had this direct correlation between the boom in the real estate market, the credit cycle, the commodities bubble, all that inflating together, and then mean reverting since in various phases sort of thing. So when you say they're tearing down buildings, when we say that there's a lot of superfluous inventory of things, it is a further depressant to the commodity story, because now we're going to have recycling of constituent parts where, you know, there's so much product and no place to store anything. We're seeing that with oil increasingly. We saw that with copper over the past few years, where copper was stockpiled and stockpiled and stockpiled and reused, and, you know, still prices levitated because financial intermediaries were rigging and jigging and front running and doing all sorts of hideous things with the price. But that's now mean reverting as well, because eventually people try and cash out in these speculative episodes. And when they do, because these are financial assets as well as commodities that are used in the real world. So demand for the commodity went down some time ago, but financial market demand has an ebb and flow to it. So one of the things I'm quite concerned about now is not just that there's this excess of commodities in the world because there was mass overproduction thanks to the credit bubble, and now mass inventories thanks to the slowdown in growth, but you've also got things like cars carry. So right now there's an insane bubble cars, right? Certainly. You see ads, you know, get a new car for zero. Don't pay zero, right? That's all over it. Canada. Yeah, I know great. In America.
It's great for the economy. Come on. Mm.
So here's the thing. We have massive inventory of vehicles sitting around the world. Yeah. We've known this for a long time, right? There was aerial photographs at one point tracking all these, you know, vacant land that was being bought up or rented by car companies to stockpile. Because they're all trying to pretend like their sales were actually being channel going to stuffing. People with a pulse that could buy and afford these cars.
Fog a mirror, right?
Pardon?
If they could fog a mirror,
yeah,
they could. You too could own a new vehicle.
So imagine all of the commodity constituents that go into manufacturing motor vehicles. Now imagine that you're going to find that we have a massive oversupply in that as well, because we are already into giving cars to people that can't afford them and have no income and have no money down, just like we did with the housing market. So it's happened with the vehicle market as well. So you're going to see a mean reversion in that too, which is another reason why commodities can't catch a bid, in my view. Once the financial finagling came out of it, and those players are being taken out in stretchers now, many of them, now you're seeing that we're left to just looking at things as a commodity instead of a financial asset. And this too shall pass, but I think we're in for a longer slog than people are still thinking here, as we get some, you know, the excesses expunged out and we get the supply finally slowly worked back down. I think it's going to take a few years before it meets with what demand actually needs as far as growth going forward.
Well, it's funny you say that, because we really kind of hit the limits here. And what you defined is really a Ponzi scheme, because the people that get in early get all the money, and then the people who want to get out last, there's no money for them. And it's funny with the auto bubble. In U.S. car sales hit a record last year, talking about 18 million units.
Slightly above the 07 peak, yeah, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And in, you know, cars are just so much easier to inflate the hell out of than any other asset, because the market responds to these perverse incentives much faster than, say, buying a home or starting a new business or whatever. It responds to them because consumer goods, there's an infinite appetite for consumer goods on the planet. So the riskier you make them and the less tied to reality you make the interest rates, the more you can drive demand to a point, until we get to the point we're at now where you just can't do it anymore. It actually is creating more debt is actually a drag on the economy. I think that's where we've been heading all these years. I think we're finally there.
Plus, you know, all these vehicles, the electric car revolution is really sweeping the world at long last, driven by consumers seeing the light and saying, geez, I can drive a car for next to nothing and I don't have to stop at gas stations and all this crazy stuff. So even though the price of oil has come down, the appetite for green cars or electric cars continues to go up. And so you saw, for example, catch-up being played by GM this week. Or last week, they announced that they're rolling out this GM Bolt, they call it, in 2016. It's a 17 model, but will be available in 16. It's a $30,000 electric car. Great. I say that's wonderful. But the world is full of these dinosaur cars that GM and everyone else was pounding out. Mm-hmm. And in this new world, those will be looked at like horse and buggies. People will say, well, why would we want that? And you're going to see this is my forecast for this, okay? I think we're going to see a big roundup eventually of all these antiquated cars, and they'll be crushed. And just like they did with the excess in housing and they're doing with buildings in China that should never have been built or weren't built well or nobody wants, they're going to have to round them up, crush them up, take down, recycle their parts again. And again, you're looking at excess in many of the commodities again.
Well, I think that will coincide with the self-driving vehicle revolution, because right now your car 23 hours or more a day sits and does nothing. And the concept of self-driving car, and you hit your app and the car is in front of your house in a moment, or your office in moments, and whisks you off to wherever you need to be. And why have a car? Somebody was telling me they had a new Tesla and they self-drove it just about from Vegas to California for most of the trip and did nothing. And, you know, things like that. That is revolutionary, and hey, I only hope that it comes very quickly and it kills off the trial lawyer industry in the U.S., the ambulance chasers. I guess they'll have to chase Google and Apple and whatever other companies are doing this. And the software designers, they're going to have unlimited liability, because you'll know you're going to have massive pileups with hundreds of cars. It's going to happen, because nothing that we create as humans can be perfect. So there are going to be accidents.
It can still be in general better than, I wouldn't be surprised to find it's much better than humans in general, though. So
we have
massive pileups with humans all the time, right? So
yeah, well, you know, the computer in theory won't text and drive, or if it does, it's able to do both of them equally well. It's not going to diminish performance. So yeah, you know, all accidents, 90 some odd percent of the accidents that occur on the highway are human error all the way.
And I think you're going to need bailouts, or there's going to be cries for bailouts again of your big automobile manufacturers. You know, like, let's not forget GM was bailed out in 2008. And let's not forget PS that they had the EV1 in in the 1990s, and they round them up and crushed them in the early 2000s. So now I had this deja vu moment where, you know, 16 years later, they're announcing, hey, we've got this electric car again. And I'm thinking, you know, you dopeies, like if they had just developed what they already had 16 years ago, you may have found that they didn't have to go into bankruptcy in 2008. But because they haven't been doing anything smart since, and they've been piling out this antiquated technology that the world is no longer enamored with, I think you're going to find they're going to be in financial trouble again in this whole process that I'm talking about.
No doubt. But at least they're thinking ahead for a change.
Well, prodded and pushed by Elon Musk, let's face it. You know,
sure.
he embarrassed the hell out of them all, because he went ahead and did what everyone said was impossible. and now they're all trying to catch up. So yep. I give him full marks for that.
Absolutely. And yep, revolution's happening. So back to the markets. What do you see happening for the year, Danielle? What are you telling your clients, are the trends for 16?
Well, I guess it's the same kind of dynamics I've been describing for the past few years. Credit bubble, interconnected derivative markets in the world have made asset classes remarkably correlated. So you get everything moving up together during the QE years from 10 to 14, and then everything mean reverting together since. So I don't think you can get protection for your capital from your sort of conventional asset allocators idea of the world, where you have a bit of this and a bit of that and equities and different colors and jelly beans, as I always call them. I don't think that's going to work. What's working right now is high quality treasuries and, the highest quality investment grade bonds that one can buy at par or less is still decent value in here in North America, in my view. I would steer clear of emerging markets, credit and equity. I would stay clear of the broad markets. You know, the Canadian stock market has come off just over 20% carry since 2014. So we're already into a bear market here, as are most emerging markets, as are, by the way, most U.S. stocks. It's been the, the fangs of the world that have kept your levitation in your S&P 500 and that sort of thing. Also in the TSX in Canada, the REITs and the financial stocks have kept it higher than it ought to be because all the sort of nuts and bolts under the hood, the resource sector, the materials sector, the energy sector, all the things that really fired the Canadian economy have mean reverted already below their 2009 low. So we look at recessionary indicators in most of the economic metrics that we follow, but also that the financial markets, the things, the Main Street consumables have mean reverted now below the 2009 low, and you've got some of the large caps as well as the financials and REITs still levitating. They're late cycle, and I would suggest to you they are headed lower as well in all likelihood, which means that you could see still massive declines in things like the S&P and the TSX, these broad market indicators. And I think there's a lot of price risk there. Now, that means you could lose a chunk of capital if you're holding them today. But on the upside, if you can step aside and let these things mean revert, which they want to do, as for all these trends that we've talked about, the end of belief in central bank magicians, the revelation that China is not growing at 7%, maybe 3%, the revelation that demand isn't insatiable and that the world's awash in oversupply, all these things are pressing reality onto financial markets, which had become widely disconnected in the last few years. So as that mean reversion happens, if you stay liquid, stay cash, stay in the least risk components of that, then you will have an opportunity to buy things at remarkably better valuations in all likelihood as this process plays out. I mean, we're talking about potentially 40 and 50% declines in some of these broad markets. And that would be just to recouple, as I say, with the real economy stuff. So when people, there's a lot of talk today, and I see this on the talking heads all the time, about the reality that we're stuck with meager returns from here. You know, the next few years are going to be bad investment markets and you have to put up with single digit returns and all that. The only reason they're saying that, Carrie, is because they never recommend anyone sell anything or take money out so that they can buy them back after they've corrected a great deal. So they're assuming everyone's stuck in this static asset allocation, holding stuff as it falls and then, sitting there as it recovers for the next 5 or 6 years after that. But that's not necessary to do. And so I'm actually quite encouraged that the truth is coming back into pricing here, and that once that that process runs its course, you're going to be mind-boggling opportunity here for capital that's been patient and careful. And I think, that's what we see at the end of all these other manic cycles. That's what we see at the end of massive credit bubbles in other periods in history. And I think this one will be exactly the same.
Well, I think you're probably correct. You've been right all along for 9 years and running. So the trend seems to be inexorable. So take your profits if you still have any and wait. Stay liquid and sensible. And on that note, find Danielle's work at jugglingdynamite.com. As always, you'll find a link in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Danielle, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.